This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
KBOO Community Radio continues the broadcast of the 2013 ILHE Lecture Series on Wednesday, April 24th, when we'll broadcast a talk by Catherine Austin Fitz.
Managing member of Solari Investment Advisory Services, Catherine Austin Fitz is also a publisher of the Solari Report. She served as Assistant Secretary of Housing, Federal Housing Commissioner in the first Bush administration, and Managing Director of Wall Street firm Dillon Reed & Co., Inc. Fitz has designed and closed over 25 billion transactions and investments to date and has led portfolio investment strategy for $300 billion of financial assets and liabilities.
Catherine Austin Fitz will be speaking at the First Congregational Church in Portland, and KBOO will broadcast the talk live at 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 24th. More information can be found at kboo.fm/ILHE2013.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2013. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Local news around Cascadia. Nike wants the keys to the region, and Governor Kit Tubber is off to Bhutan to learn more about this thingy called happiness. Amid the week's violence, gun control appears to have federally controlled appeared to have founded for now. Reps have punted the issue back to the states, which is probably just as well. We're going to speak today with Beau Grosskopf about the nature of violence in America. First, this from the National Weather Service. Rain until midday today, expect that. And then showers tapering off throughout the afternoons, highs around 55. It's going to be a bit breezy. We've got southwest winds 10 to 15. Pretty much the same thing overnight, showers and a low around 45. Windy and tomorrow, overcast skies, highs 55 to 60. Wind 5 to 10. Saturday night, lows around 45, windy, and for Sunday, may see a bit of sun coming out from time to time, highs 55 to 60, windy, and Sunday night overcast with a low around 35. And that's it for the conventional weather report, bringing us full circle to Monday morning, and for right now to the alternative forecast, which has this. The first quarter leaf moon in Cancer is 8 days old, and the synodic outlook is sowing vegetables that produce internal seed-bearing fruits, but we already knew that. Biodynamic forecast moon in Cancer, it's a water sign, which means good time to sow leaf plants, and of course it's a waxing moon, so a good time to plant pretty much anything. Sidereal, people say moon, with a moon in Cancer, it's a good time for germination. And that's it for the alternative forecast. Before we speak with our guest today, Beau Grosskopf, about violence in America, and what this might be symptomatic of, in a deeper sense than simply bang bang gun control. First up, Rough and Ready is a timber company. It's a sawmill. It's been around for 90 years. You'd think that in 90 years these people could figure out something to do other than cut down the trees, which are pretty much already horizontal anyway. The company claims that the lack of federal timber, available to be sawed up into logs or shipped to Japan, it's going to be closing. It's a sawmill. It's in Cave Junction. The closure was announced this past Wednesday. It means the loss of 85 jobs. But come on, you've had 90 years to figure it out. Comes amid a congressional stalemate on plans to boost logging in U.S. Bureau of Land Management of Forests. Terrible idea. People that are in charge of making these decisions wouldn't know a tree if they tripped over one in, say, for example, a sawmill yard. It's been 23 years now. They say that they've been pleading with members of Congress and federal agencies to do something about log supplies. Well, come on, you've cut the trees down. That's why there's no log supplies. It seems that this would certainly be the violence that we have done to our own environment, to our own habitat, would indeed underwrite a great deal of the violence which we now find that we are doing to ourselves and one another. Again, the thinning and restoration projects have proceeded on federal timberlands, but they don't produce a steady supply of larger 20 to 23 inch diameter logs. I find this a thin, flimsy excuse for not doing the hard work of figuring out what direction the future lies in. And now, always fun, the hijinks from Clackamas County. Commissioners unanimously adopted an ordinance last night to allow county staff and police to perform routine Portland-Milwaukee light rail business. Wow, that's a big step. The ordinance allows county staff to process permits and do engineering and surveying work on the Orange Line. The county staff say that since most of the jobs included are mandated by state law, they're part of normal staff duties and don't actually use county resources as prohibited by Measure 3401. But they continue. The coverage of the planning, construction, and efforts to stop the Portland-Milwaukee light rail go on apace. It's an amazing stand to take if one has to take a stand on something. Similarly, the Oregon and our elected representatives have cheerfully voted themselves $400 and something million for the Columbia River Crossing. Washington Republicans, strangely enough, have a more clear-headed, sharp-eyed view of the CRC and are saying no to the boondoggle. We're waiting to hear if we have Bo on the line. And apparently we do. So we're very, very short of time today. So we're going to suspend the local news for just a moment. Everyone pretty much at this point is aware of what's been going on in Boston. There's a recap. The people were apparently Chechen, though they had lived in this country all their lives. The younger brother, 19, Joha, was educated. He had lots of friends. He certainly spread a trail of it. He and his elder brother have spread a trail of mayhem. Boston is currently locked down. People are urged to go nowhere. Buses are at a standstill, and they are still searching for the younger brother, Joha. The elder brother was gunned down last night, as were one campus policeman at MIT, and there were assorted other shootings. There was a car hijacking and a mini-mart type thing got held up. So chaos there. And good morning. Good morning, Bo. Thank you so much for being with us. We're really happy to have you.
Thank you. Good morning.
First, let me just introduce the listeners. So if you're not familiar with Bo Groskopf, he's the author of a number of books on terrorism, and including Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment. I'd like to just step back here and let you take over. It seems that there is a climate of pathology that has unleashed the mad epidemic of violence in all manner of different forms. Can you talk a little bit about what that pathology might arise from?
Well, if you're talking about domestic United States, we're a very violent society. We just have gone through and continue to go through such resistance to any kind of control or modification of, arms or guns on the basis that, as Americans, this is our right. Second Amendment right that we can have guns. And, you know, we basically have a violent mentality. We have a mentality both here and abroad that the best way to solve problems is through violence, the use of force, whether it be on a personal level or whether it be on a national level. And, you know, that's the environment in which we've all grown up in. You know, we still think about ourselves as the Wild West in many ways, and think about the world as the Wild West, and we all know that mythology that was created about our Wild West was that it was settled on with the barrel of a gun. And so, you know, both at home and abroad, we have people who are willing to act out on that.
And it seems, too, that the U.S. simply regards the rest of the world as our somewhat backward backyard, which we have some sort of God-given right to administer. But here's my question for you. We are told that we need domestic drones for surveillance to keep us safe. We are told that we need CISPR to keep the Internet safe. We are told that this massive data collection, biometric identifiers for perfectly innocent citizens is there to make us safer. All of the talk, every one of these domestic, and I dare say the word atrocities is not too strong a label to put on them. All of these new things that have come down the pike that have really changed our entire way of life ever since, of course, the Patriot Act. All of it in the name of safety. Americans are almost as obsessed with safety as they are with guns, it seems. None of it seems to do anything. What is this disconnect between people allowing their privacy to be taken away from them, allowing themselves to be watched constantly, allowing drones to monitor their every move here and also to wipe out lives overseas, all of it in the name of keeping Americans safe, and yet I don't see anything safe about this.
Well, that's because we have bought in, and we've been encouraged to buy into the notion that you resolve these problems, terrorism in particular, through a security fix. And we've also bought into the notion that liberal democratic societies are most vulnerable to terrorism, and therefore we have to make a choice between public safety and individual rights. And particularly this has been going on for a while, but particularly post 9/11. You know, this was the polarized environment or climate that was created and has been sustained through fear, but basically the notion that you can deal with these kinds of issues of terrorists and terrorism through the security fix by creating basically a lockdown. This is the thing that's going on in Boston is so interesting because the solution there is a lockdown city, and actually region now, and the militarization of American society has followed from that particular theory. Well, there are lots of ways to deal with violent actors. There are lots of ways to deal with terrorism, but we've bought into the notion that we have to give up individual rights and create basically a lockdown society as much as we possibly can, because we're so vulnerable.
What about, we're running short of time, that we are now virtually a national security state, and the lockdown in Boston seems to me very much symbolic and symptomatic of what Americans apparently are willing to accept. What can be done about it? How can any of this be reversed, or going forward, can any of it be transformed into a more rational way of living one's life in what we laughingly call a free society? What's the fix for this?
Well, the fix, obviously, is to challenge the national security state institutions and the people who populate them, of course, and not to buy into any politician from whatever party who says, I'm doing things in the interest of the people, and in particular saying I'm going to protect your individual rights, because the only individual right that they so far have been interested in consistently protecting, as we have just found out, is a right to own a gun. And so we have to take the logic of that particular argument and, through popular pressure, we have to organize to say, look, there's a reason why we are targeted as a society by people outside us, because basically we have targeted them for over 200 years.
We're pretty much out of time. And in the last 15 seconds, can you summarize what we've been talking about here?
Well, basically, we're talking about the fact that, you know, we have a problem of violence on our hand, but we are also the violent person. And that's how there's a lot of people out there, particularly in Central Asia, to make it come home here to the Boston situation. In terms of Central Asia, a lot of people out there who are angry and seeking revenge for the occupation of their countries, for the drones over their countries, for their killing their own children, coming from a society that allegedly is a nation of laws, and we find out and they know that we're a nation of kill lists.
That's really
and
it, isn't so, it? Bo, thanks so much. We're out of time. I hear the theme music coming up. Bo, thank you so much for joining us today. Could not be better timing. I'm very, very grateful to you. We've been speaking with Bo Grosskopf, author of a number of books. We'll put all of that information on the KBOO website. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, April 19th, 2013. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand.
Flashpoints, California Assemblyman Tom Amiano on the Trust Act and why California Governor Jerry Brown has failed to support it. Also, Brown Beret founder Carlos Montes remembers radical Chicano teacher and activist Sal Castro, and activist and Answer Coalition co-founder Richard Becker responds to the call for more drone usage in the U.S. to prevent a repeat attack like the one that occurred at the Boston Marathon last week. We'll think about that, and we'll take your calls on that. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.